You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
Good morning, Bill.
I have not heard that in a long time, and I'm really grateful to hear that.
It has been
way too long.
Hot minute.
It's been a while.
Hey, but good. Before we get into it, always, thank you so much for checking us out. Wherever you're listening to us, if you'd like to give a review, that'd be fantastic. Check us out at knownlegacy.org. Give us a thumbs up. You can find us on Facebook. Are we still on Instagram?
We are.
We're on Instagram, and so continue there. If you haven't picked up Bill's book yet, you can still find it on Amazon
Check it out. Check it out, yeah.
So you can go to sleep every night with Bill whispering in your ears. So today, you can be more than what you wear.
Even my wife doesn't want that. She's like, stop. No, that's awesome.
Anyways,
yeah,
and info at knownlegacy.org. As always, thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, bookings, whatever. That's the place to go.
Yeah. So. We are so glad to have you guys on here today. Travis, it's so awesome to see you again.
It's good to see you, too.
On this camera, on our little
So, Bill, little I have screen. A question.
Yes, sir.
And this is so. If you don't know this yet, we live in Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is Texas. It's a part of this wonderful thing called the Tornado Alley, I guess.
Yeah, we're like the bottom of it.
Yeah, we're the bottom of it.
We are at the intersection of the hot, humid air from the Gulf and the cold, frigid air from the west over the mountains.
Thanks, Bill Murray.
Thanks, meteorologist Kyle.
You are most welcome.
Anyways, my question is, why do we keep believing the meteorologists? Like, they will constantly, like, 4, 5, 6 days out, like, it's going to be a level 3 hail event with tornadoes everywhere.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
The night rolls in, and it's some thunder and lightning, but you get no sleep, and you wake up, and there was, like, no hail, and it was just 3 inches of rain. It just drives me crazy.
It's crazy, because I'll, like, prepare, I'll, like, clean out my garage, because let's be honest, no one's garage is clean enough to put a car in. Okay, that's
right.
The deal. So, but I clean it all out, and then I get my wife's car just perfectly in it, because mine's already been destroyed from last year's, you know, hail Mageddon or whatever it was called. It was terrible. But now I'm like gun shy from all this.
Kyle, he's like a fantastic man. You need to do this more often. All right, continue.
I totally missed the diss. I don't know what it was. So
I was trying to help you, but Snowmageddon wouldn't have hail.
I know. I was like, hail Mageddon.
We'll go with
anyways,
that.
Anyways, so we're there. So, but I'm always prepared, and then nothing. And then it's like 3 drips of rain. Yeah. But then last night, like, all of a sudden, it's like, where'd this weather come from? Right. And I was like, should I put her car in? Then you're always second-guessing at 2 in the morning. You're standing there waiting to hear that first, like, tink, 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 mm-hmm. And then, like, run outside. Yeah, it's not.
So I like a dog return to the vomit because I always believe him.
Yeah.
And I always freak out, and I never sleep well. I was up, like, 5 times last night, and just horrible, just horrible. So the big question today that we're wrestling with is, how do you know who to trust? Bill.
Not the weather, man.
I'm just kidding.
Not the weather.
Anyways. So.
Well, yeah, no, I love it. I love, you know, and it's just as I'm keep going, I'm in the better safe than sorry realm of that stuff. Where I'm like, I'll do what I need to with it. But yeah, it's so annoying because I'm pulling in furniture like that. We're like, I don't want. But I mean, that one time last year, I think I told you guys about this, where my son's graduation, we had literally finished putting in the last flowers and I was hanging up the lights. And then like about 2 hours later, that
hailstorm.
Tangerine size hail starts coming in, and it's like it just decimated everything. We're still recovering. When I mean recovering, like we're fine, like we're gonna make it, people. But like we finally got a new fence like now because it was so bad. The guy's like, oh, this is like, you were right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so every time now that I hear hail, I'm like
okay. So to transition to happier questions,
yes,
we know that springtime is hail time here in Texas and tornado time. Tell me about your, because I'm a big guy. I come well insulated. What's your springtime food? Like once spring is sprung, you're like, this is a food I'm gonna transition to. Like I know some guys will transition beers, like from a dark beer to an amber beer or whatever.
Yeah.
Some guys will transition alcohol, or I don't know why I'm stuck on.
You're
alcohol.
You're stuck on alcohol right now.
Some will do cigars, I guess.
You said food and you went right to beer.
I know. Well, I think it's because I had a conversation with a guy at a brewery earlier this week about this exact question.
Interesting.
So anyways, what's your springtime food?
I think for me, what I love is corn on the cob.
Oh.
Watermelon and baby back ribs on the smoker. Amazing.
Nice.
Amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's grilled whatever. Like all of a sudden, like March hits and every other night we're grilling. We're grilling something. It doesn't matter what it is. We're just grilling something. So it could be hot dogs. It could be burgers. It could be chicken, yeah.
Anything. Anything that's on the grill.
Let's just name things that we can
corn. Put on the grill.
Shrimp kebab, anything, shrimp gumbo.
Anything you want to put in the fridge, Tommy. You know what I'm saying? You can put six packs of soda, candy bars in the freezer. Well, we
Kyle,
are off the rails.
You?
Kyle,
about
what
you,
about
Kyle?
You?
I agree with the grilling because, you know, in the winter, it's just a pain. Mm-hmm. It's freezing, whatever. You don't want to be out there. But spring comes, and you can pop that grill open and do it. So I agree with that.
Just go. Bill, why don't you introduce our guest on site?
I would like
live
to know. I know
in
this is a great thing, live in person. This is a friend of mine, Brian.
I'm kind
of
surprised he hasn't walked away yet.
I know. I'm really thank you for putting
this
up with
opening,
us.
He's like,
oh, this is a podcast.
Well, it's what we call it. I don't know if anyone else would call it. Some would call it a train wreck, but anyways.
Yes, and so guys, this is my friend Brian. He is the founder of Make Ready, which is I won't even explain it, but I actually want to hear what your food is before, because that's most important now. It's not about you and going to share it. What is your favorite food for this season?
My favorite food in this season is whatever my friends are grilling out and spending all their blood, sweat, and tears on Saturday making,
like,
and I just
day.
Show up and eat it.
A tip of the hat, fine,
that
sir.
That sounds
a tip
good.
Of the hat to you.
Because what's the adage? You know, when you grow up, there's two things you're interested in as a man, either meat or World War II.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a World War II guy.
Nice.
See, I went to the grilling meat and watching Band of Brothers at the same time, so I don't know if that's okay, if that's like a... That's too much in this time continuum, but I like them both.
You're
like multiple personality disorder.
Yes, it very
right.
much is.
Right.
It very much is. Well, I love it. No, that's awesome. That's great. World War II is another fun thing, but that's a whole other podcast that we can do too. So, but Brian, share us a little bit about Make Ready and kind of what Make Ready does and what its goal is, kind of even how you decided to start it. Because when we first met, I think we were at like Black Rifle Coffee, just kind of hanging out and hearing your heart. And I'm like, I like this guy. I love your heart of what God is doing in your life, and I wanted to hear more, and I want our team and those who listen to Known Legacy know more about what you're doing. So can you share a little bit about that?
Awesome. Well, thanks, Bill. I'm so grateful for being able to be on here with you guys, and I've been able to be listening to you for a while, and been
so
encouraged.
I'm so sorry.
I know. Well, it's when I need to go to sleep at night. But then Travis, you come and say something interesting.
Yeah. What the heck?
You know what? I'm having a barbecue at my place later this weekend. Why don't you come on over? If you could say that same thing in front of my wife, that'd be fantastic.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what. Make Ready. We want to transform men through discipleship.
Okay,
and,
awesome.
And that is something that me and my business partners, and I say business, this is a nonprofit, and we're trying to do this together with a lot of other guys, but... we want to create tools that help men lower the barrier of entering into discipleship with other men.
That's awesome.
Because there's, you know, in my experience and in knowing guys and having conversations, there's so many people that look at the Great Commission as such a tremendous feat to accomplish. Mm-hmm. As if I've got to go get a seminary degree, I've got to be a Bible study leader, I've got to do all of these things, and they're timid. They're like, I'm not that person. But it's a day one mandate as a believer.
Yeah.
And it's you bring what you have and just trust that the Lord has provided all of the steps along the way without you realizing it or not.
Yeah.
And built into you the man that you need to be to disciple others.
I love it.
We want to do with Make Ready is we want to help men accomplish the Great Commission using digital tools. We want to be the rails that men use to run the train of their own discipleship.
That's cool. So when you say digital tools, what do you mean? Like, what's that?
So we want to... We're the platform that men are going to do their discipleship on platform. They're going to connect with men. They're going to be able to run their groups. Churches are going to be able to downstream different resources and things that they do locally to put in the hands of the actual disciple makers on the ground that have, you know, 3 to 4 guys that they meet with, and basically just empower them to do what they are called to do.
That's awesome.
So I'm really encouraged because I feel like the conversation of discipleship has really ticked up within the church world in the last 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I found is that everyone kind of has their own definition of what discipleship is. And often one of my challenges is for me and my tribe, my tradition, we have always associated discipleship with the discovery or the intake of knowledge. And it's very single focus. Like, if you know more information and you're smart enough, then you're being discipled. And what I'm realizing is some of the guys that I know and that I even care for, they are biblically smart. I mean, just crazy smart, yeah. And they're horrible people. So what's your working definition of discipleship, and how does that integrate like life transformation as well as biblical knowledge? Because we are a pretty biblically illiterate culture.
Yeah.
Sure. And I mean, I think a lot of the misunderstanding of what discipleship is sourced in not knowing, not being educated enough.
Right.
So that's part of it. I think that education's part of it. I think that learning's part of it. But listening is just as big of a component. And I think we miss that as men. We don't just sit around and just have conversation. There's a lot of Bible studies that are great. There's a lot of, you know, podcasts, a lot of teachings that are fantastic, and those should never be abandoned. But there's no, how do I use this in my life? Places out there that I can go listen to just this fantastic teaching from some pastor across the country.
Yeah.
And I can learn something. But I'm never going to be able to apply it in a way that somebody sitting next to me at church is going to be able to speak into my life.
Yeah.
And just that built-in camaraderie and understanding that they listen to me, they know me, they know what I need to hear.
Yeah, and
I feel like we missed that.
Yeah, no, Brian, I think you're absolutely nailing it, because I think there's words of encouragement, there's words of accountability, and there's words of forgiveness that a guy sitting next to you can offer you, which we all need throughout our lives. We need times when someone calls us out and goes, "Dude, you're like, suck it up, buttercup. Pull it together.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you're trying to do, but it's not working."
Well, men respond to that.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we're missing that because we've become so isolated in this culture.
Right.
Social media has separated all of the older guys that have great things to say, and all the younger guys are all on social media, and COVID came and just severed the tie.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Wow.
And there's just no way to connect those two groups of people.
Wow. So I love I love that idea of discipleship and relationship, because I think and you said the way that you said it is listening, and I think that's the biggest goal of discipleship, is learning how to listen to the Spirit and then having the guts and the brotherhood to the armor bearers around you to step out into that. And I think that's what Bill's in the middle of right now, is learning to discern that Spirit, being bold to step out into some crazy stuff that most people in their right mind would be like, no, that's crazy. But people who are in the Spirit would be like, man, if the Spirit's discerning that and giving that to you, run. And we got your back. You know what I mean? And so I love that. So how do you facilitate that relationship component through that digital medium? Is it just more of resources that congregations can tap into, or how are you doing that?
We're going to create resources. We have created resources. Right now on MakeReady.org, we have about 400 clips that we went around and we interviewed about 50 guys that we thought were just incredibly gifted at communicating simple ideas from Scripture in a really short 30-second to minute and a half way, designed to be shared on social media, to be consumed. And really, they're just conversation starters. We don't want people to just, I'm going to go get my, information from these videos.
Right.
We want you as the discipler to watch some of these and say, hey, I know that Bill needs to hear this, and we need to talk about this. And so I'm going to use this as a conversation starter and say, hey, Bill, go watch this video.
Yeah.
And let's get together for coffee and talk about this.
Yeah.
Because I think this will really bless you. Because I see something in you that you may not see in yourself.
Yes.
Because I have done the work to be around you.
Yes.
So it's almost kind of like an adrenaline shot for these guys to go, I can have the courage to go and talk to this guy. Hey, look, can we watch this together? I want to show you this cool video. Like, even just sitting next to each other. Like, just, that's awesome. I love that.
Absolutely. And I want to point at these guys and say, look, you do the work of discipleship.
Yeah.
We will resource you and help you do that. But don't look at us to give you a fill in the blank process of this, then this. And this book will disciple you. You need to disciple that guy.
That's brilliant.
Because I love that.
I think it offers that third point of tension, because often it's hard for us to call each other out. But if there's, like in marriage counseling, what I often will do is I'll say, my job is to ask the question that both of you want to ask, but you're terrified to ask of each other, because as soon as you ask it, put someone else on the defensive, and then the whole conversation's over.
Yeah.
So I'm the one that you'll hate, because I'm going to ask it. And you can communally hate me, but it's going to get you to talk about the very thing that you need to talk about. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about here, is you guys are the resource that creates the tension that facilitates. So it facilitates the open space for people to actually have conversations and actually hold each other accountable. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Light is a sanitizer, right?
Yeah.
You bring men into the light, and it just all kinds of things come come to the front that need to be dealt with. And a lot of the times, just saying it and just having a conversation about it makes it real to that guy.
Yeah.
So I love it.
So one more question for me. Thank you, Bill, for letting me monopolize.
You're great.
The
you just
here.
Do what you got to, man. I'm just here hanging out anyways. I got coffee. Things are good.
Tell me about what was your journey to this point? Like, how did you end up here that this is something that you're, you know, that you're investing in and giving time, energy, and resources? You're a dad. You got two kids, a third on the way. There's 100 different things you could be doing in the evening besides this or during your day. Why this, and how did you end up here?
So me and the other guy that has started this, we come from the media production world, specifically like TV commercial production. And so we'd always, we've done this for about 10 years, traveling the world, all kinds of huge brands, just it's a lot of fun, but really got to the point, both being believers, of what are we doing for the kingdom? There's really, you know, we are capitalists, and we want to participate in the world and what we're doing and deploy our skills. But how can we deploy our really unique skills, especially for Christendom, towards the gospel, given the fact that both of us have been blessed by tremendously strong men throughout our lives that have poured into us, been faithful to ask us questions, been faithful to be there. And so it really started with answering that question with, like, let's just go interview all of them.
That's cool.
Like, then see what happens.
Yeah.
And in that process, and add on to that, going to people to say, hey, would you help fund this? We got the question of, well, if you're going to go interview these guys, what's next? If you're going to go say, start a question, are you going to have some way for men to follow up? Because, you know, this happens a lot in men's ministry, is the mountaintop experience.
Yep.
You go to a men's event. It's fantastic. It's the camp atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
You remember as a kid. It's like, why can't you duplicate this in your everyday life? You get done with the mountaintop, you come down, you come home, and man, life hits you in the face.
Yeah.
And there's just all these competing priorities, and, you know, it just gets lost. And so we wanted to inject something into that. And so we, through the research of it, asking God to deploy our skills, we've really landed at this. Let's build the discipleship platform that lives online, that enables, encourages, and resources men to go do the discipleship in their own life.
That's awesome. Now, are you, you know, I had a chance to check out the website. I love it. It's super clean. The videos are amazing.
Thank you.
Like, do you have a goal in mind for your first year of what you want to see accomplished with this?
Well, so we launched about 3 weeks ago, and I very much feel like I'm inviting people into a construction site.
It's okay.
Hey, what do you think about the building? Well, there's a roof. Where are the walls?
It's a nice construction site, though. I'll be honest with you. I like it. So
I appreciate that. I mean, our next goals are to expand the offering of content that we have.
Okay.
And so we're working on that now. We want to do a masterclass style topic, driven.
Yep.
You know, how do you tackle the conversation of my marriage is falling apart, pornography, the workplace, just different things that are, shotgun. We're going to answer these questions for people and give resources to men to use these to disciple their guys.
Nice.
The next phase that we're working on right now is, how can we make groups possible on this? How can churches run their men's ministry through this platform?
Okay.
And we'll provide tools of connection, tools of scheduling, and all the things that are, I don't say missing, they're just disparate. They're not in one space.
Yeah.
And more often than not, we have to go use the world's tools to accomplish God's mission.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we're perfectly capable of creating things that can accomplish that together.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. So you guys, how long have you guys been working on this before it kind of became a reality?
So we've been doing this about a year.
Okay, so totally.
We're about a year in, and we've been talking about it longer than that.
I was going to say, yeah, because you guys were, when you were out doing commercials, it was just, I mean, was this years ago in the making, or?
Well, so me and Scott originally met through the workplace and quickly realized that we had some very common passions for discipleship. Scott went through Tommy Nelson's discipleship program.
Okay.
And it was just a massive light bulb, world-changing moment for him. And I'd grown up a PK,
yep,
in ministry, camping ministry. And so my whole childhood was a mountaintop experience, which in my personal life had sort of a numbing effect with me in the gospel. I knew it all. It wasn't as transformative to my life as it should have been.
Yep.
And as I grew up, it's, you know, God was faithful to work on me and put men in my life to really tune that faith into one that was working in my life that I could then transport to other men.
So let me ask this. Let's say a guy is listening, and he is like, man, I desperately need to figure out a way to put into practice the knowledge that I know or the relationship that I have with Jesus. What would you say are some initial first steps that maybe you would encourage them to engage in? And then the follow-up question is, there's a pastor listening to this, and he's like, okay, I've been doing the men's ministry. It's one event. It's a big, you know, shoot guns, fireworks, woohoo! But the guys aren't being transformed per se. It's just a lot of meat. And a lot of, you know, bro stuff. What would you encourage that pastor with? So the guy who desires discipleship, and then the pastor who is like, man, I got to transform how we do men's ministry in our congregation.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that the guy needs to realize is the onus is on him to make disciples, not for those who want to be discipled to come to him. Mm. So you've got to find your men. That was something that Tommy Nelson's always said, is like, where are your men? Yeah. Every time you bump into him, where are your men? And you have to, as a disciple maker, continually be processing that. Or who are the guys in my life that I'm pointing to and being faithful to disciple? That's a question they need to answer, and they need to start finding those people. Whether it's one, three, it's not a number.
Right.
Yeah,
just
be faithful with what's in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's seasons that that's more active and seasons that it's not. But you need to be on top of that. Your family is your number one priority in that. Your wife is your number one priority in that.
Yeah.
And for pastors, man, I know a lot of pastors that deal with this a lot.
Yeah.
And in the research that we've done, there is a 6 to 10 time amount spent on women's ministry in churches than there is on men's ministry.
Yeah, yeah,
which
is
a catch-22 because, you know, well, you're not spending money on men. They're not coming? Well, I wouldn't spend money on them because they don't come.
Right.
It's a chicken or the egg.
It is a chicken or the egg. And so I think that the church in general, and there's some churches that are doing this very well, but in general, it's very geared towards women.
Yes.
Very geared towards what can we do for the kids.
Yep.
And there is not a lot geared towards men. And I'm not talking about driving a semi-truck across the stage and saying, you know, look how God takes you through life and these big old fireworks. And it's something that you got to get your men to believe that discipleship is a real thing, and that is what you have been called to.
Right.
Yeah.
You've been called to be watchful, to stand firm in the faith, to act like a man.
Yeah.
Be strong, and then do it all in love.
Well, and I would wager to bet that most of the pastors that desire men's ministry are not actively discipling any group within their church. They're sharing, they're teaching.
Yeah.
You know, and most of them are very well educated. But I'm shocked by the number of guys. Like, I think one of the most underutilized resources the church has is our board of elders. We have elders. I'm guessing most congregations do. It's a biblical mandate. But for our tribe, it's often these guys that will show up. They'll be once a month meeting, maybe in the morning doing some breakfast, and then they pass out bulletins on Sunday morning. Or maybe they help distribute communion. And I'm like, if this guy is an elder for 3 years, he should be on the precipice of being a pastor. Like, we should invest in them to the point where they're biblically literate enough to become a pastor, and they're discipling other guys. But I find that so many times that's just a community. So I guess my encouragement is, like, I fall into the trap of I have to scale this up for the whole church. Mm.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes God's like, no, I just want you, and that's why I appreciate what you said for the individual. Who are you discipling?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the question that you need to start with. Like, who are the 2 or 3, 4 guys that you're just pouring into, that you're connecting with, that you're doing lunches with, that you have fun with, that you laugh with, but you're also helping direct the gaze towards Jesus and what he's doing in their life, in your own life, not just doing another meeting. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, and I think the key to that is vulnerability.
Ooh, pastors don't like that word.
I don't think they do.
Nope.
And I think that a lot of the problems you find in pastors, and why you see such dramatic collapses of, you know, men that have been very good at communicating the gospel is because they've isolated. They believe that nobody understands me. I'm not one of the guys anymore. I'm something different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that's something that, you know, they're hammering into their own brain, or just that's the culture that the church has created. And the pastors are up on this pedestal of, well, you've obviously got it all together. You go disciple for me. And then you get into the consumeristic idea of church. And this is something men have totally bought into. Wait, I've got to why do I have to go share the gospel? Why do I have to disciple? I pay my dues at the church.
Right.
They do
right.
that for me.
Right. We hire professionals
we
for
hire
that.
We hire professionals for that. The
yeah,
pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
So true. So true.
Anyway, so I think that goes back to your question of what should pastors do. They need to be vulnerable.
Mm.
They are one of the guys. They're one of the men.
Mm.
And they need to be just as poured into as they are pouring into other men.
I get that. You know, the bar, everything rises and falls in leadership. So if that bar isn't there for them, how is this ever going to change anything else? Mm. And so I love what you're doing. So let me ask you this. How can guys get involved? What can they do to support you or get involved in your ministry?
So makeready.org. Again,
makeready.org.
It's a construction okay. site. It's a pretty construction site.
It's a nice
it's
construction
gorgeous.
Site.
It's gorgeous.
I'm very proud of it. I have not moved around any ones and zeros to make it look that pretty. But
that's awesome.
There's some guys that are very talented working on that. So what we have created, you can go on there, you can make an account, you can view the videos, you can make playlists, and you can use those to start conversations with your men. You can share them.
So they can actually
like
go on there, sign up,
correct.
And have like a list of things like, hey, when I talk to my buddy, I can pull up these,
absolutely.
These three.
Search topics.
That's
you know,
awesome.
Hey, we're having this conversation in our small group. Like, let's talk about this. And they
that's
can go
awesome.
In there and do that. So that's where we are in phase one.
Okay.
Again,
okay.
It's very much a minimally viable product. There's much, much more to come.
Absolutely. No, mm-hmm. absolutely. No. And I think that's great because I think just even getting that vibe, because I think there's a lot of guys who are like, I want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're all so tangible. We want to actually do something, not
right.
like some ominous, well, go in the peace and admonition of the love of the Lord. You're like, awesome. What do I have to do today? Tell me what to do. So now it's like they can go to makeready.org. Get
go
on
to makeready.org.
Sign up and get an account.
Yes. Find some videos that you can send your men, then go get a beer with them and talk about it.
Sounds amazing.
A spring beer.
A spring beer.
Something light.
Fruity even.
Something fruity. No IPAs.
Summer Shady from Line and Kugel would be a great choice.
Wow.
Anyways, no, I think that's great. And with that going on and signing up, I think the other piece is, and you alluded to it, if you don't have that group of guys that you're investing in on a regular basis, find those guys and start texting them
yes.
on a regular basis.
Yes.
Text them the memes.
Bear.
Start to build that community. Start to build that rapport. I mean, that's how Jesus did it. What did he do? He spent 3 years investing in these 12 guys, right?
Yeah.
Building a relationship so that as he was teaching them, it sunk into their hearts in a way that the world would never be the same.
And you know what? At dinner, when Jesus showed up for dinner, he may not have always been talking about some deep theological... He may have talked about the hail.
Exactly.
He may have talked about the hail and what's
oh, yeah.
going on in culture
oh, yeah.
and what's going on, you know, and there's you know, tons of things that Jesus said that weren't written down because we just didn't need to know. But
yeah.
I want to believe that he was normal.
Guys
yeah.
follow guys
yes.
that are normal and guys that are approachable. And I think guys that are humorous. And mm-hmm. I can't help but think that Jesus often poked a little inside jokes at each other. And Jesus was the instigator of that sometimes. And you're just like, yeah, that's a guy I want to follow. You know, always appropriate. He
yes.
was never inappropriate, but... You know, we as guys can joke with each other like none other. I saw a meme the other day. It was like, a good friend is someone who will destroy you in front of others and absolutely champion you behind the scenes. And I'm
yes.
like, yeah.
That's pretty much my friends
right
now.
That's what we do. That's what we do.
That literally is traffic. That is you to a T, man. That's pretty much what you are.
Anyways.
No, this has been good, man. It's good. And, you know, as we wrap up, so please make sure you guys go to makeready.org. Check out that site, sign up, get yourself an account there, look at those videos. I remember when I went on there, I literally started scrolling, and then it was like there were 15, 20 seconds, and then I'm like 11 in here. Like
yeah.
these are cool, and
yeah.
they're really cool tidbits of truth that I love. You said like they're just small, that they're not like, because a lot of times when I get on like a YouTube video, I'm like, it's like 86 minutes. Why are you not going to watch this?
And they like, could have said it in 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
And I'm
yes,
scrubbing
yes.
through, and it's like, hi, my name is Ralph, and I'm with East Bumble Baptist Church. You know what I'm saying? And they're like, and they got like a whiteboard behind him, and there's like, I'm like, oh, no, Ralph. No,
East
don't do that.
East Bumble Baptist Church.
I like that.
I think that's in
good.
Alabama.
I guarantee it is. I guarantee
Sorry,
it
East
is.
Bumble. Sorry, East Bumble. If there's an East Bumble, I apologize. I wasn't directed at you.
Again, info@knownlegacy.org. You can put your complaints.
All the names and faces have been changed. No, so
Brian, thank you so much, man.
Thank you
so much.
My
journey.
Thanks
for being on the journey and doing the hard work to give us resources to be able to help disciple.
Yes.
Gentlemen out there, the culture is ready.
Yes.
We need men to step up and not to this is not a political thing. This is just we need men in our families.
They need to come alive
in marriages. We need men to just
yes.
be followers
yes.
of Jesus passionately because eternities matter. And we are part of that story.
No, I get it. You know, and here's another thing, guys. You know, as we continue to do this, I don't know why it's on my heart, but as we lead our families, this does change the world. It changes. This is part of the life change we're trying to bring here at Known Legacies. Get involved with a bunch of guys. What do I do? There's a ton of stuff, and this I wanted to bring this out because it's such a great element to add to these guys' journey to go, hey, I'm at a cigar shop, or I'm at the church, or I'm like, hey, I'm going to go grab a coffee. I'm like, dude, check out this video.
Yeah.
What do you think of this video? It's not like, hey, brother, we're going to have a 10-week study. You know, it's like, hey, man, what do you think of this video? I saw these. I caught these. Have you seen these?
Yeah.
These are really cool. I think there's a lot of easy ways. And it's just like you said, I love that the tools are high quality. You're gonna love these videos, guys. So check them out. Go on makeready.org. And so thank you again for being a part of this, you know. And
but we're not done yet.
We're not done yet because, you know, one of the things I've missed in these moments are our Fast Five segments. There it is. I love it. I have missed that as like music. Can I hear it one more time? Can I hear it one more time, Kyle? Oh, there it is. That's so good. Oh, good gracious. Okay.
We are such simple men.
We are. It does not take much. Talk to my wife. It doesn't take much to get me excited or happy. So.
Oh, we're going there today. We're going there.
No, I mean like ice cream. Ice cream and coffee and long walks on the beach and good conversations.
I feel like your red face would be more red if it wasn't already red. Anyways.
Yeah, you just can't. It's just one color.
Yeah.
It's just one color. Rojo. It's like the glory of God shone on me.
So going to the Fast Five.
Yes, moving into the Fast Five. So, dear Jesus, I'm so sorry for my attitude today. All right. So, okay, number one, what is the most interesting place that you have been, Brian?
Kyoto.
Kyoto, why Japan. Is that? Why is
oh
that?
My gosh, it's like being on a different planet.
Really?
Yep. Okay. We did a project over there, and it's you don't growing up in Texas, you don't understand the extent that the gospel has reached until you go to somewhere that's just totally different.
Wow.
Where you can't read the language, you can't even figure out where the bathroom is. It, you know, they read up and down.
Yes, like, it's I do just remember totally that. Different. I was there for about 8 hours, and I was lost for 8 hours, so it was good.
Japan is fascinating.
I was like, they were still smoking cigarettes inside restaurants. I'm like, are you smoking? Like, what is that?
Yeah. So India's like that, too.
FX has a new series out called Shogun. Have you guys started watching that yet?
Not.
So many people have told me to.
It is absolutely fascinating. It is, but be ready. It is almost entirely subtitled. And so, you know, you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention,
no regato.
But it is fantastic to see this completely different culture from what we know, but they deal with the same things that every culture deals with. Families, bloodlines, and property, and battles. And it's fascinating.
It's like Yellowstone, but in Japan.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. He's got a mental picture. Kevin Costner dressed up as a samurai.
I bet there's a picture.
There probably is.
That's Kevin what AI is for.
Anyways, all right.
If someone has a picture of Kevin Costner in a Shogun outfit,
info@knownlegacy.org.
I'm expecting that today after this. All right, number two. What is one haircut you would have forever?
Roger Federer, circa the 90s.
Okay, that big fluffy.
It's just that like the mane.
When he would like pull it back.
And,
yes,
and you know
I
he spends
that.
An hour a day on it, but it looks like just wakes up.
He just wakes up and there it is.
Yeah, just does a little shake.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, mine's not like that at all. All right, what's your favorite thing you like to do with your family?
There is the times in the morning where the kids run in and me and the wife are just so tired and they just jump in bed. And the things that come out of their mouths is just so fun and so funny. And I'm half awake. I'm half frustrated.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I just love it. This stage we're in with kids is so much fun.
That's awesome.
How old are they now?
Yeah.
Almost 6 and 3.
Wow.
One coming in 3 weeks. So.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
It's crazy because mine's 15 and almost 19. And they're.
They don't jump in bed with
They don't jump in bed anymore.
I think that's creepy.
My
that
dog
mom
does.
And dad sleep together.
Yeah, that would be. My dog does. But other than that, the kids don't. So, okay. So, favorite childhood memory of yourself? Like something you had when you were a kid?
Man, when we were. Growing up, my dad ran this thing called Worldview Academy, which is a Christian academic leadership
I remember.
Camp. Yeah.
Crazy enough, I remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still going strong, but they go around to different college campuses during the summer and hold these Christian camps, and we would, growing up, travel with them.
That's
And
so
we got
cool.
to see some of the coolest things. It doesn't boil down to one memory, but it's just the aggregation of all these memories of travel and being with family and I never knew how unique that was until I got older.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. So side note, guys. So when I met Brian, Brian Sims, by the way, sorry, but I don't think I ever said your last name on here.
Irrelevant.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. It's okay. And so we're having a conversation. He's from Midland.
Oh.
And we kind of connected through another person. So I don't know how he met him. And I was like, wait a minute, Brian, is your dad Randy? And he's like, he is. I used to lead worship for Randy at a community Bible study event live.
That's awesome.
His dad is literally one of the greatest storytellers ever. I mean, I remember I would sit there underneath him like, please speak. Please keep talking. I mean, it was so good.
That gene did not pass.
Oh, it was. He's so gifted. I'm like, dude, this guy's amazing. And so anyways, yeah, that was a crazy side note that when I met him, I was like,
you're a digital storyteller.
Yeah, I provide the opportunity for other people to be awesome.
He's analog storyteller. It's a digital.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
It passed down to you.
It
absolutely
definitely passed down. He's
absolutely.
Brian is short selling himself. He's
those
really
videos
gifted.
Are storytelling.
He is
and
amazing.
It's digital. Well
it's
done,
amazing.
Sir.
Okay, last thing. One thing on your bucket list you'd want to do before you die.
I want to see my kids get married.
High five. That's solid. Want to walk my daughter down the aisle.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I'm going to cry in a second. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a sucker. This is, that's a great way to end this. Guys, please check out makeready.org. Check them out. Hey, pick up the book, and then you can also donate to Make Ready. You can donate to Known Legacy. Man, we're jumping full force into this. May 31st is our launch date. So we are excited to see what God has in store. But I know keep supporting Make Ready. Go over there. Sign up to an account. We're going to have you on again.
Yep.
I see us partnering together. And so, guys, so grateful that you took the time to listen. Do me a favor. This sounds random. Text your wives right now and tell them you love them. Text them right now. Tell them you love them, that you're for them. Just random time. It's like whatever, 10-something in the morning. Just text them. And, man, God has big things for your family. God has big things for what he wants to do in the church inside America. I believe Brian is part of that. I believe Known Legacy is part of that. So thank you guys so much for listening and being a part of today. Travis, any last thoughts?
God bless you guys.
Brian, any last thoughts?
That's it. I'm so grateful for you guys and what y'all are doing.
Thank you. Kyle, any last thoughts?
I'm good. My mic's off.
Kyle's mic is off.
Try again.
I'm good. Travis likes to mute me after I make a couple comments.
He's like, you're done. You're done.
I was getting feedback, man. I was getting feedback.
And on that note, guys, have a great week.
I'm so sorry.
We'll be back on soon.
Thanks for listening to the No Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@nolegacy.org.